So we're going to spend just a few minutes in thinking about gratitude and giving thanks. And I want to say that being a grateful person and being a person that gives thanks, first of all, is different than being a polite person. We want our kids to be polite. We want society to be polite. But don't mistake politeness and good manners with genuine gratitude. Okay. So first, gratitude is an attitude of the heart, and it's a disposition of the mind. And then giving thanks is an act that reflects our gratitude. So the giving of the thanks is the action that proceeds from the attitude or the disposition of gratitude. And so gratitude comes, first of all, from a grace-shaped heart. When we talk about the idea of gratitude, gratitude is, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in a second, but it's a joy in our hearts to God for his grace. Gratitude is actually a good feeling of being thankful. It's what arises in the heart when you sing a song like we just sang. Not till then, Lord, will I know just how much I owe. And you hear that, and there's something that resonates in your heart if you know the grace of God. And so gratitude glorifies God because it sees God's kindness in every area of life. And gratitude needs to be expressed. There's no such thing as secret gratitude. On the outside, I'm grumbling, but on the inside, I'm really thankful. It doesn't work that way. And so giving thanks to God and expressing thanks to others is the manifestation of having gratitude in the heart. And so I would say this, that gratitude is first of all both overflow, but it's also discipline. Okay? So overflow, because gratitude or having a thankful heart is really, in a sense, part of the Christian's new nature. Okay? So Paul could say in Ephesians 5:4, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Right? The Christian speech is transformed because he or she is a new creation. The Apostle Paul also put it like this. He says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so for Paul, there's this idea, you've received Christ Jesus the Lord. And so now you're supposed to walk in him. And as you walk in him, you're being built up and established in the faith, just as you were taught. And as all of this is taking place, you're just abounding in thanksgiving. Some of you remember Ernie Keenel. Ernie was our first deacon. And if you went up to Ernie, you would say, how are you doing? And Ernie would say, better than I deserve. But for Ernie, that wasn't just a cliche. He meant it. He actually abounded in thanksgiving because he understood that the God of heaven had shown him kindness that he never deserved. Paul could go on. He tells the Colossians later, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. 3:17, just two verses later. Whatever you do in word or deed, in everything, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Give thanks in all circumstances, Paul says. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's a real sense in which gratitude for a Christian is simply one of the new affections that God puts into our hearts when he saves us. I had, believe it or not, a lengthy Jonathan Edwards quote that I'll spare you from Religious Affections. And Edwards talks about that when God changes and transforms our hearts, what he does is he puts into our hearts all sorts of new affections. And he talks about joy, and he talks about fear in terms of the fear of the Lord. But also, in every list that he gives, he puts gratitude. Because gratitude is the abundance of grace in the heart. But it's also a discipline. It's also a discipline. Why is it a discipline? Well, because we still battle indwelling sin, and there are alternatives to thanksgiving. Right? Anybody think of an alternative to thanksgiving right off the top of your head? Complaining. That's the antithesis of thanksgiving, right? Is complaining, murmuring, grumbling, right? Now, I don't really have anything on this because I know there are no murmurers, grumblers, or complainers here. But it is interesting that the apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he's talking about that the Israelites give us a pattern of how we should follow in their example, both positively and negatively. And he says, and don't be grumblers like they were, and the destroyer destroyed them. Okay. Paul could say to the Philippians, do all things without, depending on your translation, grumbling and complaining. Right? New American Standard says disputing, which I think is okay, but in my Bible for years there was a hyphen because it was a paragraph break and it said dis. And for some reason, I always thought it said do all things without grumbling and disputing, but I couldn't figure out what disputing was. I prefer grumbling and complaining. And so, just out of curiosity, how many of us have the natural tendency to be a complainer? All right, there are a few honest souls here. Praise the Lord. We all do. Murmur, grumble, complain. By the way, parents, don't let your kids be complainers. It would be something that they not only don't grow out of, but they will grow more and more into. And if you don't believe me, just look at the majority of adults that you hang around. Okay? So there's an alternative to giving thanks. And if I still have indwelling sin and I have the tendency to not do what God says, right? Then I need to make sure that it's a discipline as well, that giving thanks is something that I intentionally do. Right? Something that I purposely engage in. Not only thanking God, but thanking other people. Just being grateful to other people. It's actually powerful, isn't it? So a couple of weeks ago, I got a card from about a dozen ladies in St. Louis. Didn't know any of them. They sent me a picture of their Bible study group, and they're listening to the book of Job. And they just sent me a thank you card for the sermons, and they've listened to others, and each one of them just had something nice to say. That's actually a nice thing to do. It's encouraging. And it actually reflects a gratitude that is first and foremost to God. So gratitude is the overflow, which it should be overflowing, but also it's a discipline. So we have to make ourselves be people that give thanks, right? The second thing is that we cannot have genuine gratitude unless we have a supreme gratitude for God's grace in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. Okay? So let me just say that a little differently. You cannot be a genuinely grateful person unless you are saved. Okay? You cannot be a genuinely grateful person unless you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and you have experienced his goodness in salvation and the forgiveness of your sins. And I want to explain why that is true. So ingratitude, okay, how many of you appreciate when somebody expresses ingratitude? Does that like make anybody ever like feel like, I think I deserve that. That was really encouraging. No, ingratitude is really irritating, isn't it? You parents know exactly, right? You do something for your kids and, you know. Well, I taught Ashley the lesson of a lifetime. She was 5 years old. I told her, we're going to start daddy-daughter breakfast once a week, and took her out to breakfast, and afterwards she's like, I want ice cream. And I said, it's 8:30 in the morning, you're not getting ice cream. Besides that, I just got you breakfast, but I want ice cream. See, you little ingrate, can't you appreciate what I just did, the time that we had, right? I do, but I want ice cream. So I took her straight home. No ice cream. Okay? No ice cream. Ice cream is a reward for ingratitude. Okay? Not as a general rule, but in this specific situation. And went home and gave her a lesson on gratitude. And so we put, tantrum throwers shall be whipped. That was on the refrigerator. And no ingratitude. Okay. There's something about it that rubs you the wrong way, right? Okay. Well, I want you to think about this. Ingratitude is an attitude of thanklessness, which manifests itself how? In complaining. And so ingratitude, if gratitude is an inward good feeling of thankfulness, ingratitude is an inward bad feeling of unwarranted discontent and unwarranted disappointment. All right? Let that sink in for a second. Ingratitude is a bad inward feeling of unwarranted discontent and unwarranted disappointment. In fact, if you want to see how bad ingratitude really is, by the way, I think that it's pretty safe to say that if you live your life as a person that is full of ingratitude all the time, it's probably safe to say that you don't know the grace of God. So this is the way Paul puts it in chapter 1 of Romans. He says, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they did, even though they knew God, listen, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. In a sense, the heart of depravity is the failure to honor God and the failure to give thanks. We think about that for a second. You know, we think, you know, when we think of depravity, it's like we think of the worst, horrible, most wicked sins that we can think of. And we think of murder and torture and all these terrible things. And God says, well, here's really the heart of human depravity. You don't honor me as you ought, and you don't give thanks to me as you ought. You don't have to be Hitler to be a cosmic criminal. All you got to be is an ingrate towards the living God. We were actually created to be people who honored God, glorify God, and give him thanks. We were created to be grateful people, and that should really sort of resonate with us. Even just at a basic human level, apart from divine grace, there should be a sense, he owes me nothing, I owe him everything. I should give him thanks. Well, then, when you stop and think about the creation distinction, that creation should just be simply dependent upon God, have a grateful heart, and yet our heart apart from grace is in rebellion and refuses to give thanks. Immanuel Kant, who is certainly no philosopher to be followed, did say, ingratitude is the essence of vileness. By the way, you see this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, a list of terrible sins at the end time, and one of them is unholy and then ungrateful. So John Piper says, he says, we know that we have not rendered to God what we demand for ourselves from our neighbor. Okay. We know that we have not rendered to God what we demand for ourselves from our neighbor. We know that the judicial sentiment in our heart, which holds other people guilty for ingratitude, also bears vivid witness that God holds us guilty for our astonishing ingratitude to him. So what should have happened on that day when Ashley was 5 years old is I should have reprimanded her for ingratitude, disciplined her for ingratitude, and then turned around and repented to God that the very thing that I demanded from her, I so often denied. To my creator. Her ingratitude should have actually spawned in me the awareness of how often I am ungrateful to my heavenly Father. Okay. That judicial sentiment that Piper talks about is this idea that we're wired in a way that that we have an innate sense of right and wrong. And so when somebody does us wrong, we have a sense of what is called judicial sentiment. That is, I've been wronged. There needs to be a recognition of the wrong and a rectifying of the wrong. Is that not true? Is that not true? And yet the very thing that we demand from others, we often deny to God himself. Wow. At that point, you just fall on your face and you just, God, help me. God, help me. Help me not to be a grumbler and a complainer. Help me to be the person who gives thanks. And so if ingratitude is in a sense sort of part of the heart of depravity, when God saves us in Christ Jesus, he shows us that he owed us nothing and that we deserve nothing but judgment, and then he gives us grace instead. Do you think that a person can actually truly know Jesus in a saving way and not come to the realization that God owed him nothing and he only deserved punishment? Do you think actually a person can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus thinking that God owed it to them? Do you think that a person can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus believing that they deserved it? The very heart of what it is to be converted, the very heart of what it is to come to know Jesus Christ is to realize God doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe me the next breath. God doesn't owe me the blessing of being born in this country. God doesn't owe me the blessing of parents. God doesn't owe me food or water or shelter. God owes me absolutely nothing. I'll tell you what, that's part of the gospel, and I will tell you that in a society that is an increasingly entitlement oriented society. I deserve this. I deserve that. That's mine. That's mine. My goodness, what needs to happen is pride needs to be leveled. Pride, which is in a sense sort of the heartbeat of ingratitude, is defeated by grace, and true gratitude cannot exist unless I taste the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so what is gratitude? I already said it, but I'll say it again. Gratitude is an affection. It is a good feeling or feeling of delight towards God who's shown me kindness. Pretty soon we're going to be in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Pretty soon's a relative term. And Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brothers, in light of God's mercies, all of the mercies that he has just unfolded in Romans 1 through 11, all of these mercies, I urge you, brothers, in light of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices. There's a response of gratitude. You taste the goodness of God. You taste the grace of God. And there's just a response of gratitude. Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. In fact, that ends up being, in a real sense, the very essence. Paul talks about this both in Romans 14 and 2 Corinthians 5, that the one who has died for me is now the one I live for. What is that? This is a life of gratitude, right? The old Heidelberg Catechism divided up into three sections: guilt, grace, gratitude. There's the pattern for the Christian life right there. Guilt, grace, gratitude. So G.K. Chesterton said, I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Okay, let me read it again. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Is that not what you experience when you come to know the grace of God in Jesus Christ? Gratitude, happiness doubled by wonder. Lord, why in the world would you save me? Right? You do understand that the big question when it comes to salvation is not why doesn't God save more? The question is why in the world would he save me? The big mystery of Scripture is not why did God hate Esau. The big mystery of Scripture is why he loved Jacob. That's the mystery of Scripture. And so that sense of just happiness doubled by wonder. Right? And so we sing stuff like this. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. One last thought And that is that genuine gratitude is not void of genuine lamentation, sadness, and sorrow. There's a phrase that I read recently that I thought was interesting called toxic positivity. Okay, not toxic masculinity. Toxic positivity. And the phrase is used when, in an effort to be positive, we ignore or suppress the hard and painful things of life. Toxic positivity. I think Christians actually are pretty good at this. So sorrow and lamentation are also a part of life. Right? Being a grateful person who expresses that gratitude and thanksgiving does not mean that you're a person who ignores the pains of life. In fact, sometimes Christians do things like this and they mean well. You lose a loved one, and a well-meaning person, guilty of toxic positivity, says, well, she's in a better place. Is that ultimately true? Well, she was a believer, of course it's true. But the positivity doesn't lessen the genuine pain. It doesn't lessen the need to grieve in a godly way. It doesn't lessen the need for genuine lamentation, because under the rubric of give thanks for everything, the reality is that we also have the genuine pain of living in a fallen world. And so somebody said to me, after they heard Arnie died, well, to die is gain. It's absolutely true. For Arnie. For Dave Mason. For Ricardo. To die is gain. But only a fool would think that somehow those who are actually suffering from the temporary broken relationship that's been severed by death are just simply going to take up an attitude of positivity and just say, well, to die is gain. We have a perspective on death as believers. But we don't try to shrug the pain. You ever read the Psalms? This poor man cried. Have you ever read the Psalms? My tears have been my food day and night. You ever read the Psalms? He's near the brokenhearted. He binds up the wounds of the afflicted. Even the apostle could say, sorrowful, but always rejoicing. And so genuine gratitude and giving thanks in the midst of lamentation is not meant to cover pain with platitudes. It's meant to maintain a perspective in the midst of sorrow and the dark nights of the soul. And so how do you maintain gratitude in the midst of sorrow and pain and sadness, you remind yourself, God rules over these sorrows. Sunday morning, we're going to look at Psalm 56, God and our tears. In the afternoon, our only comfort in life and death. We're going to sing, O Father, you are sovereign. He rules over our sorrows. But also, God's grace promises to sustain us in the midst of our sorrows. God somehow doesn't sideline us when we are in sorrow and lamentation and say, okay, well, when you buck up and get better, you can come back out and play. It's not what he does. His grace sustains us even in the times of deepest sorrow. And then you remind yourself. The sorrows are real, the pain is real, but these sorrows don't have the last word. God does. That's what it is to walk by faith and not by sight, is to simply say, grief and pain and sorrow and sadness of soul, those things don't have the last word. My God has the last word. And I remind myself, with a grateful heart, God is sovereign and God is good. And these sorrows don't fall outside of his plans for my good. You wanna watch bitterness creep into your life and take over your life like kudzu? You do know what kudzu is, don't you? You go down to the south. It's this ivy stuff on steroids that takes over everything. Okay. You want bitterness to take over your life? Then you stop telling yourself that God is sovereign and good. You want bitterness to encroach upon your heart and corrupt your heart? Then you simply ignore the fact that God is doing what he's doing for your good. Doesn't mean you get to figure everything out. And so at the end, you're able to say, oh God, I give you thanks. I give you thanks. You've saved me. You have forgiven me of all of my sins. And you did it for Jesus' sake, and you reign. And as I trust you in the middle of the storm, I give you thanks. On Sunday, I got home. Or back to the hotel. And I bawled like a baby. I had pled with God. Give us more years with our friend. And God said no. And I believe that he's sovereign. And I believe that he's good. And so gratitude is simply saying, Lord, this is really hard. And I don't understand why. But I know that I trust you and I thank you. Maybe later, reasons for gratitude become clearer. But even when there's lack of clarity, you can still say, I trust you and I thank you. My friends, it's the grace of God that produces gratitude. And that gratitude is expressed in thanksgiving. And when our hearts are glad, we can give thanks. It's kind of easy to give thanks when your hearts are glad, right? But when our hearts are breaking, we can still give thanks. We haven't sung this song in a while, but the balance of it's always struck me. We are going to sing it Sunday morning. Listen to the balance of this. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. That's what gratitude looks like. That's what gratitude looks like. You give and you take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we all want to be more grateful than we are. We know that ingratitude and complaining and grumbling creeps in so easily. We pray that you would forgive us. We pray, Father, that our happiness in Jesus would be doubled by wonder. How we thank you for the Son of God who's taken away our sins. How we thank you for the hope of eternal life and the comfort that you bring us, not only in this life, but especially, Lord, in the life to come. And so, Father, tonight we pray that as we get ready to celebrate a day of thanksgiving tomorrow, that you would tune our hearts to sing your praise. We ask that you would help us to be mindful of all of the many reasons we should give you thanks. Oh Lord, may we give you thanks for all of your benefits, all of your blessings. And supremely, Father, let us give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Father, may we even be bold to speak of Christ to our family and friends tomorrow. And Father, we ask that gratitude would simply abound. Help us, Lord, we pray. We thank you for tonight. We pray that you do good to us in it. In Christ's holy name, amen.